Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnel Doré, and joining me today is Elaine Durbach. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Arnel. Hi.
Hey. Naturalistic Support, for those of you who don't know, is a unique approach to lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. On Naturalistic Support, we help each other, combining a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. So this involves you calling us to talk about yourselves as well as to talk to each other. Our number, it's 212-209-2877. And today's topic is a continuation of dealing with loss and grief that we started discussing last week. So just to recap some of what we talked about last week, first, what is grief? Grief is the complex, natural, and personalized emotional, physical, and psychological response to a significant loss. And significant loss can be a lot of things. As we said last week, in addition to the death of a loved one, events that can cause us to experience grief include divorce or relationship breakup, loss of health, losing a job, loss of financial stability, a miscarriage, retirement, death of a pet, loss of a cherished dream, a loved one's serious illness, loss of a friendship, loss of safety after a trauma, or even selling the family home. As some of our callers last week confirmed, when dealing with death, most people are comforted by two ideas. Elaine, want to continue?
Yeah, sure. Look, the first, everything that happens because it's all, those who see it as being part of God's plan.
Yeah.
When a person we love dies, although we might deeply miss them, believing that it's all part of God's plan can be comforting to some. Another way that people comfort themselves in the wake of a lost loved one involves having faith that the person who died actually continues to exist in an afterlife, and that ultimately you and they will be reunited. And instead of the death demarking a permanent separation, it can be thought of as a relatively temporary setback. And although you're deprived of your relationship to the lost person for the remainder of your life, it's heartening to believe that eventually you will be together again and for all of eternity. But of course, not everyone, however, is comforted by such thinking. Naturalists who do not believe in a supernatural universe, and even many non-naturalists who claim to believe, need alternative ways to deal with loss. And believing that everything that happens is part of God's plan can help give us a sense of serenity. But if you're a naturalistic person in your orientation, having a sense of serenity or acceptance has to be derived differently.
Yep. Yep. So a lot of people, you know, are their belief system kind of protects them a bit. In it gives them something to hold on to. The belief that, okay, my loved one is gone from this existence, but still exists somewhere, and it's somewhere that will eventually be united. And
I think even feeling even before that reunification, that can be a very comforting thought, that they're still in this universe, still yeah. part of our reality.
Yeah. Now, you know, the thing is that it doesn't work for everybody, right? I mean, there are a lot of people who claim to believe that, who secretly inside, you know, inside of themselves, they really don't. And that's part of why they'll grieve so hard, because, you know, they kind of know on some level that, you know, the loss is a permanent loss. But that's not to say that there aren't, like, unbelievable amounts of people that actually do believe, you know, and are comforted by those beliefs. And for the people who it works for, it works. But if you're naturalistic in your orientation, if you don't subscribe to that view, if you believe that, you know, when the brain dies, the person is gone. If you believe that, then you have to find a different way to deal with loss. Elaine?
Yeah. The loss is just one part of the truth of our experience. That we were fortunate enough to have had a relationship with someone with whom we enjoyed sharing a significant part of our journey is also a vital part. In fact, the most important part of what's true. As we experience the pain of losing a person whom we loved and cherished, it's important to remain aware of just how lucky we are to have found that person to begin with. The depth of our sense of loss is directly proportionate to the great fortune of that find.
Yeah, so it's an equation, you know. It's you know, the amount of joy and the great fortune of finding somebody that meant that much to you, or having a family member that you truly loved, you didn't just tolerate, you really loved and are really going to miss, that's also great fortune. Yeah. And, you know, when the loss comes, that's on the other side of the equation. And, you know, you have to make things equal and in an equation. And in a way, you know, the poetry and the symmetry of relationships and of life and death is that, you know, the fortune of the find is equal to the sadness of the loss.
Yeah, the more open your heart and the deeper your ability to connect, the deeper your ability to feel that kind of loss.
Right, and the only way not to be exposed to that level of pain would be to not partake in the joy that makes life worth living. So being mindful that our sadness is just one part of an equation can help us gain a deeper perspective on our experience. So a naturalistic approach can give serenity and acceptance, because while a naturalist doesn't believe that everything that happens is part of God's plan, you can still have serenity in the face of losing a loved one by practicing something that we promote on this program, meta-awareness, which is a central component of naturalistic humanism.
I love that word. It's a very aspirational idea.
Yep. Simply put, meta-awareness comes down to applying cause and effect thinking to our human experience. It promotes being fully present and mindful of every given moment and maintaining a calm and serene sensibility under pressure. When faced with circumstances that are threatening, hurtful, disruptive, or painful, having a meta-aware perspective helps us recognize that, given the preceding determinants, the proximate outcome is the only outcome possible. So meta-awareness helps us appreciate that all of our feelings, our thoughts, and our behaviors, and everything we experience, is the most proximate expression of a complex tapestry of causes and effects, as ancient as our universe. And the image of a tapestry, you know, I put it that way because years ago, a lot of people who were considered themselves deterministic, which is really what meta-awareness is, it's understanding that cause and effect is the ruling mechanism. A lot of people coming from that world would talk about the chain of causes. You know, it's like a you know, links in the chain, but it's so much more complicated than a chain, right? Only a tapestry really can convey what the complex interaction of cause and effects that ultimately result in this moment. Only the complexity of a tapestry, and even that is probably inadequate.
Because you've got so many threads intertwining. It's not just one linear thread.
Yeah. Elaine, why don't you continue, please? And if you relate to anything that we're talking about, we are open to taking your calls at 212-209-2877. And please consider telling us about what's going on with you when it comes to dealing with loss and anything that you might be going through or someone you know might be going through. Maybe you're supporting someone who's experiencing a loss.
Yeah, the people who called in last week were so moving. They're just very thought-provoking. I'm hoping we can continue the discussion that way.
Absolutely.
So despite our relatively ephemeral existence, the impact resulting from our momentary instantiation is consequential. It forever alters the trajectory of everything we interact with. No matter what we imagine our legacy will be, we can never fully appreciate just how much we affect the lives we touch, the many lives that they in turn will affect. Every moment of our brief existence is elegantly and inexorably connected to all that precedes it and all that will follow. And accordingly, each and every moment warrants our fullest engagement. And staying as fully in the moment as possible requires that we avoid being overly focused on the past or on the future. And if we become fixated on a past loss, we can lose our opportunity to connect in the present. Living in the moment requires a certain sense of urgency, understanding that the time we have can easily slip past us as we focus on a future that may never occur, moments past which I'll never repeat.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all known people, and maybe even it's true in some of our own lives, that we can really miss being in the moment while we're just, you know, kind of thinking about what we missed, what we lost, what we don't have now that we had in the past. And the only thing that's actually real is this moment right now.
But as you said to us, you know, it's this moment not excluding any of this. It's holding the person you love, holding the home that was dear to you, holding the job that was such a part of you as part of who you are now, but it's now.
Yeah. So it's important to try to bring our focus to this moment and to think about, you know, are we making room for having new people in our lives. Let's say we've lost loved ones, but if we focus too long or too intensely on them, we risk failing to appreciate the lives that are available to us right now. Again, our number is 212-209-2877, and we'd like to hear about your experience with loss and grief. 212-209-2877. Now, there's a lot of stuff that works in traditional approaches to dealing with loss and grief. And these things are offered in almost all traditional faith-based and supernatural-oriented communities. You know, they promise that our loved ones continue to exist beyond death through some supernatural process. But many also offer some very practical responses to the bereaved, which can inspire how naturalistic humanists respond to loss. Elaine?
Yeah. The traditional faith-based supernatural-oriented communities treat the remains of the deceased with dignity and provide services where family and friends support mourners, such as in the Jewish practice of sitting Shiva and the traditional Irish wake. When sitting Shiva, immediate family members spend time together for 7 days to mourn while the community visits, bringing food and drink for the mourners and guests.
Yeah, last month, my lifelong friend John Zaff succumbed to pancreatic cancer. And I attended the Shiva ritual at his home. And there were as many as 25 to 30 friends, family, and community members that had come that particular evening to show their support.
Did you find it comforting? Did it help you deal with this loss that I know has been very painful?
You know, there was a combination of, and it felt like the exact right balance between talking about him with people and memories, and also just meeting new people and kind of being a little distracted from thinking and talking about him every now and then going back to talking about him every now and then. There was, you know, it had like a combination. It was like being at a party, but it was like a memorial party kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, you're surrounded by love at that time, which can be very energizing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like at an Irish wake, I love these occasions. Family and friends gather and share humorous or poignant memories, and singing and poetry and food and drink in the presence of the body of the deceased. Well, at some wakes, not all.
Right.
Yeah, and at least anecdotally delineating experiences like these appear to be helpful. I've certainly been at ones that were, at least for the hours that everyone's together, very comforting, very supportive.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't have really a lot of scientific research about the efficacy of these approaches, but hopefully they will one day be looked at, because it seems like these things help. You know, it's great to have social scientific evidence as well, but certainly anecdotally and clearly from your experience and my experience and probably most of our listeners out there, these things help. And if to our listeners, if you've gone to a Shiva call or a wake or some other gathering that was helpful in helping you deal with the loss of a loved one, call us and tell us about it. 212-209-2877. We actually do have a caller on the line.
Right.
So, yeah, let's get to that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
My name is John Henderson, and I'm calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, John.
Hi, John. And,
yes, I just wanted to find out, I just wanted to know, have you ever read Dr. Wayne Dwyer's book, Your Erroneous Zones?
No, but I have seen him talk, and it's kind of interesting. What in particular are you referring to?
For example, dealing with failure or guilt.
Okay. Yeah.
What does he recommend?
Well, I haven't had a chance to read the book yet. I just wanted to give you a call to find out maybe if you read it.
Yeah. Okay.
He's very highly respected. I mean, he's been valuable to a lot of people. So it's a good suggestion.
Yeah. I mean, certainly he is a resource. I'm not all that sure about where he stands with loss and grief.
It's great to, you know, the more resources that are out there, the better. Have you dealt with a loss in your life recently, John?
Well, not really. I have resigned myself to realize that in life, you know, you're going to have pluses and minuses no matter how you cut it.
Exactly.
And, yeah. How you deal with it really makes a big difference. No matter how you deal with it, it really makes a big difference, because no matter how you cut it in life, you're going to have losses and you're going to have
John,
gains.
Has your approach changed?
I guess how you deal with it is thing.
I think your radio might be on in the background, John, because I hear a little bit going on back there. Is that you might have to turn it down.
I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I was just wondering if you read Dr. Wayne Dyer's book.
Okay, John,
thank you.
Thank you for your call, and call us again.
You too. Take care. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. You too. And we're at 212-209-2877. We're talking about loss and grief that accompanies loss. And
Can I tell you about what we did? Because I'm thinking, as you were saying, the traditional practices can be very helpful, sometimes because it takes away choice or confusion about what to do. There are these set practices. But in our case, my husband was very much a non-traditional Jew, and he made his wishes very clear, which helped. But we did something extremely untraditional that gave everybody a huge laugh. He wanted to be put through a wood chipper, like in the movie Fargo.
Yeah.
Well, we were not going to do that. But he was cremated, and we had his ashes. And my son rigged up the wood chipper so that he could feed the ashes through this machine. It was a very windy winter day. And we poured the ashes in, and it billowed out in a huge cloud that got blown all over the garden.
Yeah.
We all inhaled this air.
Yeah.
And in a sense, he became part of us, or that aspect of him. And there was such hilarity. And we could, we knew how much he would have approved of this ridiculous event. So we had our ceremony, even though it was a totally unconventional ceremony.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful thing. You know, the image of it is amazing, and I think finding your own way through also there's a lot to be said for, you know, kind of figuring out what works for you and what you want to keep from the traditional practices that are around, and also kind of customizing them and making them your own, which Marshall clearly did.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Another practice that seems to help with the bereavement process is memorializing the life of the lost loved one. So, in addition to traditional options like writing down stories and creating artwork like tribute collages, which could be composed of photos and letters and memorabilia and personal effects of the deceased, today, the possibilities for memorialization are extensive, because in addition to communicating about the person on social media, websites can offer emails, texts, voice and audio recordings, videos, artwork, web postings, comments, and memories from family, co-workers, and friends. And you know, we're at a time where we leave so much more, you know, behind now than people ever left before. And we'll talk more about that in a second. Again, our number is 212-209-2877. We're talking about grief and loss. And healthy distractions are something that we should all think about when we experience a deep loss. Elaine?
Yeah, sure. I mean, sometimes the loss is felt so deeply that even after a reasonable mourning period, we can still find it difficult to resume normal life. And taking on a challenging activity or learning to do something new requires intense concentration and prevents our ruminating about the loss. Physical activity, as intense as one can safely handle, is also beneficial. Volunteering to help others can be an effective way of dealing with grief. And it might even be more satisfying if the cause had a connection to the deceased. And while there are limitless volunteering opportunities today, this is especially true. As our country seems to be under attack from within, we need as many volunteers as possible taking to the streets, protesting and demanding the withdrawal of the masked, jackbooted thugs who are causing more harm within our country than many of our worst foreign adversaries. And what a great distraction that would be.
That's a great distraction. And, you know, not everybody can take to the streets, but there is a lot of back-end support that you could give to protesters. You could make signs. There are a lot of things you could do. You could make phone calls. There are a lot of ways to be part of this growing movement that we desperately need to mount in this country because of what we're going through.
Yeah. And talk about honoring those we've lost.
Yeah.
What a better way to honor them if that's what they would have stood for, democracy and decency and caring about fellow citizens. What a good way to honor people you've loved.
Yep. Another important way to deal with the grief that comes from a loss is to prepare for feeling sad. The dates that remind us of those we've lost, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, and other special occasions, can be emotional triggers. And that can cause grief and sadness to really emerge and overwhelm us. In preparation for those triggers, we can try to arrange to see a friend or binge watch a great program on one of the many streaming services. We could have a phone call with a good friend, order a special meal or cook a special meal or take on a challenging activity. What's key, though, is having something to look forward to.
Yeah, something that's going to engage you, like you said, in a demanding activity, not something that'll let you disappear down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. And as we said before, for many people, believing that their loved one continues to exist in an afterlife is an indispensable coping mechanism. And a naturalistic humanist, you know, somebody who doesn't believe that, should never challenge a person relying on those kind of beliefs that are helping them deal with their loss. Confronted with someone coping in this way, a naturalistic humanist should simply nod to indicate you understand. Right? When a grieving naturalistic humanist receives a well-intentioned reassurance like, "I'm sure she's looking down at us right now and smiling." As irrational as that might sound to a naturalistically oriented person, what's really worth focusing on is the intention.
Yeah, that's so important. I mean, I found after my husband had died that I would get irritated if people told me what I should be feeling, if it was in accord with their belief system. And you're so right. You know, I know that they were always coming from a good and kind place.
Yep. And that's what we have to focus on, the intention. We have another caller on the line. Why don't you take that, Elaine?
Sure. This is WBAI. You're on the air.
Hello.
Who's calling? And where are you calling from? Hi.
I'm from New York, Rebecca. I'd like to
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Are you familiar with the, Japanese religion, the Soka Gakkai Buddhist?
And I've heard of it, but I'm not familiar with it. Can you outline it for us?
The chanting. Yeah.
They're not the Zen. They don't talk about God. They talk about, like you said, cause and effect. The law of the land. And that's how things go, you know, not to dwell in any mysticism. Anyway, I had a neighbor that was that, and it's very interesting. That's the one group that was allowed in, while other religions were kept out of Cuba because they didn't interfere. Anyway, Soka Gakkai. But for my mom, I did a little celebration at Ethical Cultures, and I had somebody do a reading. I paid her to, I forget what they call the person, but she takes information from you and what you know about her and what you'd like to say and the family members, and then reads. And then we had a room there and different people spoke and showed some films. And
this was at the New York Ethical Culture Society?
Mm-hmm. They
nice.
Did that, yeah.
Yeah, on Central Park West and 64th,
that's
I think.
A beautiful
yeah.
building.
Yeah. Right. That's so nice. So are you an ethical culturist or was
well,
your mom?
At one time, I think I was, yeah. And I had some money, but it's a little expensive too. But
Rebecca, did you find the way they did it? Was it helpful?
I get a complaint that no one reaches out to you after you try to sign up. No matter how many times you tell them that, they still do the same thing. So it's a little alienating sometimes.
That's not good. That's not good. So next time, try us here in Maplewood. The Ethical Culture Society would put our arms around you.
Yeah, they would be. You'd be very, very warmly welcome if you joined the Essex County Ethical Society for Ethical Culture.
Don't live there. No call.
Yeah.
One of our problems is that there isn't a very strong hierarchy. And in the traditional religions, you know, everybody's got their role. And in ethical culture, it's a little bit too democratic, and sometimes it falls between the cracks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you weren't given the support you should have been given.
Yeah,
membership directors. I've gone through two, and I don't want to bend because they have. I've been there since, you know, some programs and all, but I think
they do some wonderful programs.
To do outreach and membership, you know, and you have to, like you say, put their arms around you and listen.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Rebecca, thanks. Call us again. Appreciate your call. I think we have one more caller on the line. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, maybe not. That was somebody who actually utilized ethical culture. That's interesting, Elaine, isn't it?
Yeah, we've had some very interesting sort of honoring ceremonies here at the society. One was designed by the person who passed away. He planned the whole event before he died, and it was the most marvelous event.
Yeah, and it sounded like Marshall planned a little bit too.
Yes, he did.
We're going to take our halfway break. We are at 212-209-2877, and we'll be taking more of your calls on the other side.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support right here on 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
Non-commercial, listener-sponsored.
Peace and Justice Radio.
On Wednesdays from 2 to 3, Naturalistic Support is taking listener calls, offering a revolutionary new way to think about ourselves and reach out to each other.
I just wanted to call in to give encouragement to the last caller.
It hit right on where I am right at this moment.
You really hit the proverbial nail on the head.
I really connected with what you were saying about loneliness.
We are hardwired to help each other.
Getting past the blame, owning your own truth, letting go of judgmental thoughts.
I felt so fortunate to hear this.
You went through every single one of the things that I've been working on with my life. Now, you said all that. I'm like, holy cow, what is this guy doing? Is he talking to me right now?
The Naturalistic Revolution is a game changer. Listen to us break it down on Wednesdays from 2 to 3.
I want to thank you so much. You helped me so much.
Lost and all alone. I always thought that I could make it on my own. But since you left, I hardly make it through the day. My tears get in the way, and I need you back to stay. I wander through the night and search the world to find the words to make it right. All I want is just the way it used to be. With you here close to me, I've got to make you see.
And we're back. You're listening to Naturalistic Support here on WBAI. Today we're talking about loss and grief. And you know, Elaine, there are other kinds of losses, and we can talk about those in a minute. We have right now actually a couple more callers, so let's we'll get to them.
Okay, can I welcome them?
Please.
Okay, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling, and where are you calling from?
Hey, good afternoon. Well, how you doing?
Ed!
Hey, how's it going, guys?
I recognize that voice.
I've been told I got a distinctive voice, so I don't know. I guess they're right.
It's a great voice, Ed. Hold on to it.
Yeah, thank you. you were speaking about grief and loss, and, you know, like, I've dealt with a lot of it during the course of my life, as far as family members passing before their time. But I just got to disagree with you on one point. I believe not in the afterlife, but like if you study physics, for example, because when I was in college, I took up physics and electronics, and energy cannot be created or destroyed. It just changes state.
Yeah.
I believe when we, you know, when we die, I mean, I believe our consciousness and our energy exists. It might transform into something else. I'm not so much for reincarnation or any of those metaphysical or spiritual things. But I honestly believe that the spirit, the essence, continues. It's transforming. And it nothing ever really died.
Well, Ed, let me just make clear that it's not that you disagree with us, because I was just saying, if you're a naturalist, then that is that idea, which comforts a lot of people, doesn't work for you. So we're talking about what's alternative ways to think about it, because not everyone is comforted by that. But if you believe that and that comforts you, more power to you. That's great.
But Ed's position is also scientific.
Go ahead, Elaine.
Ed, your position, to my mind, is scientific, which is fits in with naturalistic humanism. You're not talking about a supernatural thing. You're talking about a scientific fact.
Exactly. That's the way I look at it. I believe I personally believe it's a scientific fact. I believe we don't go anywhere. And then you can look at it by the same. There's nothing new under the sun. All ideas, all things, they're energy, and they transmit through this universe and just... It just changed form.
Right. Well, just to be clear, science does acknowledge that the matter that made us when we were alive and conscious still exists in a different form when we are no longer alive and no longer conscious. But what you're saying, I think, demurs a little bit from where the science is, because you're saying that you believe the consciousness remains and still exists intact in some other way, which might well be, but let's be clear that that's not what science is telling us.
No. I mean, well, it's not some call it pseudoscience, but like I honestly believe, and I don't know, you know, you could call it coincidence, you could call it just, you know, when you hear someone say something or an idea or practice continues, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. So I believe that gives me comfort. I don't know if it gives anybody else comfort, but it gives me comfort.
It's good. It's important. And I'm glad you're calling to tell us about it, Ed. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right. Call again. I think, Elaine, we have another caller on the line. Maybe you want to say hello to that one.
Yeah. Hey, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? And where are you calling from?
Hello? Caller? Okay. We were supposed to have two callers there, but that's all right. We're at 212-209-2877, and we're talking about loss and grief. And, you know, Elaine, there are other kinds of loss.
Yeah.
You know,
like what?
Well, we might grieve things that we've always wanted but never had. Like, okay, so personally, I've gone through these feelings. I know that I've grieved over things that I never really had to begin with. So it's weird.
Sure.
It's a loss that, you know, it's not something that you had, but you still feel like it's a loss. You know, whether it's the closeness of family that I always longed for, or feeling connected in a profound way to a dynamic community around me, or even having a deep sense of career satisfaction. These are all experiences that I may have gotten somewhat close to in one way or another experiencing, but ultimately didn't have what I wanted.
Yeah. It's extraordinary that without having had it, you still have such a strong sense of what it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's true for a lot of people. I think...
can be a very heart sore feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's weird that something you never had can feel like a loss. But, you know, I also recognize that grieving about these things that I wanted but didn't realize is actually the opposite of what I need to do with the precious time that I have left. Listeners, do you grieve about what you never had to begin with, kind of like me sometimes in between therapy days? Call us at 212-209-2877 and let's talk about it.
I think having that kind of hope for one's life or an aspiration, you know, it's what you're saying about don't shut yourself off. I mean, a lot of people will shut down their hopes for what they can achieve, or they've shut down the kind of intimacy they're capable of having, because it opens you to disappointment or hurt.
Yeah.
But if you keep trying, hey, we're still here.
Yes, yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about who and what we leave behind. Because we mentioned last week that for naturalistic life for a naturalist, life after death is really, it's not achieved by existing past death, but it's existing through the impact that we have on the people whose lives we've touched. Elaine?
Yeah, sure. And I'm thinking this touches on what Ed was saying, that the impact that you have, even the emotions that you stir, what you do in the world has ripple effects that continue and continue. So those who consciously remember us are carrying us forward in a way.
Yeah.
And you sure as, I'm using the wrong word here, you certainly want them to remember you in a way that adds to their lives and doesn't detract.
Yeah.
And also those who are affected by us who don't even realize that they were affected by us. You know, we might have had more impact than they realize. And it includes the progeny in our own families and the young people in our extended families, like nieces and nephews, and among those in our community. I look at a couple of people who've become journalists because, at least in part, because they met me and they liked what my career looked like. I get such a kick out of seeing them move ahead.
Yeah. No, it's great. We have to interrupt our list because we have a couple callers waiting. So
great.
Let's get for that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Sai from Westchester.
From Westchester. I'm sorry. Your name again?
Sai Saida from Westchester.
Sai. Hi, Sai.
Hi. I heard the last part of, you know, have you grieved for something that you never had?
Yeah.
I'm in my 40s. I first saw a picture of my mom who passed away when I was about 3 months old at 18. And
wow. Oh my gosh.
Noticed then that, and I have six sisters, and three brothers. And I understood once I saw the picture at 18 what my siblings were actually grieving for, you know, and for someone that they'd never seen, and also because I look exactly like her. For the siblings actually know, you know, my older siblings who actually had some time with her. So just to, you know, just give you some feedback on, you know, what you
said.
Understand.
Did it make you feel, did it give you comfort or did it make you hurt more?
With my siblings or seeing the picture of her?
Your own feeling, seeing your mother, did it make you miss her more or did it fill in the gap a little bit?
It did. It truly filled in a gap of I, for so long, heard so that were negative towards my mom. That when I got a chance to see her, I said, wow, I was, you know, also having these negative feelings toward myself.
Mm.
You know, because this woman looks just, we look like twins. I showed some family members the photo and they said, oh, that's you. And I said, it's not.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
So I held those negative feelings that people were saying about my mom. And I also had some negative feelings that I was saying towards myself. And I said, wow, no way I could ever beat up myself like that. And no way could I ever beat up my mom, you know, because I'm beating up myself. So, and just understanding.
So, have you outlived her? Are you now older than she was?
I am. She passed away in her 30s. And I always had this feeling because the way I lived, you know, that I was going to die at 14. I was going to die at 33. That's the last time I said I was, you know, was going to transition at 33 because my mom passed away at 33. And I was like, oh, that's it. Everyone just had something always negative to say. So, again, internalizing that to say, this is my day of, you know, transitioning at 33. And, you know, I'm still here. So
Yeah, you know, Cy, I wonder how common that is where, you know, we think we're going to die at the age that our parents died, because a lot of my life, my dad died when I was 12 and he was 73. And a lot of my life I thought, well, I'm probably going to not make it past 73. And now that I'm only within a few years of that, I'm like, no, that was his problem, not mine.
It's exactly. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Because you understand exactly. That you have a choice to do, you know, something different. And, you have a choice whether...
Exactly.
You have a choice. So leave it as that. You have a choice. But
You get to learn from what she went through. You get to go beyond.
We stand on our parents' shoulders, hopefully.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she looks, you know... at me and says, you know, that's me, you know.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Going further, 30. Going, living better.
Yeah. Cy, thank you so much for the call. Call us again.
Thank you. I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for the therapy.
All right.
Great call.
Elaine, we have another caller. Why don't you take that?
Sure. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello, caller.
How are you, Elaine?
Hi, who is this?
Crystal.
Hey, Crystal.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome.
You're just in time.
You know, when you was talking, Arnell.
Arnell, yes.
When you were talking, I thought about that song, He's a Real... Not you, don't take it personal. Uh-huh. The song came to my mind. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land,
yeah.
Making plans for nowhere, for nobody. Remember that song?
Yeah, I didn't know that you can sing, Crystal. Wow.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. Copyright, copyright. Okay.
Songs.
Yeah.
Is that you that play those songs? Is it someone else?
No. I'm playing those songs.
Oh, my God. You play all the good old school songs.
Yeah.
Anyway, as far as grief, oh please, I'm grieving right now. I have this illness. It's not till death. They just can't figure it out.
Right.
So I'm grieving.
Right.
That's tough.
But I do have the hope that it's going to get better.
Right.
So that you, huh?
Yeah. No, I believe you, and I say right on to that. Crystal, you know what? We've got one more minute to the show, and we've got one more caller who's been holding, so I'm sorry to make it so fast with you. We gotta get to that one, too. But call us again. We'll talk
and
soon.
And feel better.
Yeah, feel better. Thanks, Crystal. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
It's Russ in White Plains.
Russ, how are you?
Fine, and thanks for getting me in. Your ability to conduct an interactive show when it's such an ordeal to get through, I admire it. Arnell, science told us to shut down the whole society for seasonal flu, so I wouldn't rely on it. But I want to be real quick. Do I understand that it's deterministic to say that this sacrificial lamb, Peretti, in Minneapolis, his fate was determined when he decided that the Second Amendment, his right, allowed him to hold... carry a gun. Now, I think these ICE gun thugs are not a well-regulated militia. Let me make it clear. He didn't bring it on himself. But is it deterministic? Is it met awareness to say this guy's conclusion about the Second Amendment clouded him so much that it ended up killing him? And one thing, Arnell, having a child at 61 will age you prematurely. Thanks, Arnell. Bye.
Yeah, I hear you. And it probably did age my dad prematurely. But everything, you know, even the ICE guys who killed him. But that doesn't mean that we should just let them go on killing people. It doesn't mean that we should encourage more people to come to demonstrations armed and take the chance that they're going to be misunderstood as being a terrorist and then gunned down. I mean, we learn from what has gone down before us. But that doesn't also mean that we blame people. We can't, you know, the agents who killed him have to be stopped. They cannot be allowed to go on killing people. But we don't have to blame them or him, because everything leading up to their moments doing that was, you know, going to cause them to do what they did. And that might be a little hard to get our heads around, but we don't have a choice, because that's meta-awareness and that's reality. And
but we can try to stop them.
Yeah. Yep, we can. We have to go. So you've been listening to Naturalistic Support's look at dealing with death and grief and loss. I'm Arnell DeRay, and joining me today has been Elaine. Thank you so much, Elaine.
It was a great program. Thank you, Arnell.
Thank you. Also, thanks to our heroic engineer, Greg Johnson, and to Hilla Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for another edition of our program. Archived editions of Naturalistic Support can be found at our website at WBAI.org and at EqualTimeForFreeThought.org. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn, and stay where you are, because coming right up is the Katie Halper Show. And remember, always try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through.